let's just enjoy Jesus for a minute. Is that okay? Yeah, shika bonga dinga banga dinga dinga ding 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 ding. C.S. Lewis said that joy is the most serious business of heaven. It's from another realm, joy. He said play and dance and all these things are considered truancy on the earth, which means they're considered wrong here. He says they're considered wrong here because they're not from here. Play and dance and joy are the most serious business of heaven. God played when he made the cosmos. It's an act of play, recreation, recreation. So, we've got a happy God. 1 Timothy 1:11, the glad message of the happy God. Your Bible will probably say the gospel of the blessed God, but blessed means to be made blissful. It can also be translated happy. So when you say we're saying bless you. Bless you. So we've got the glad message, 1 Timothy 1:11, of the happy God. We've got the happy gospel, the happy God. Because if you take away happiness from God, there is no God. Because to be infinitely glorious is to be infinitely happy. There's no limit to the passion and of happiness that God is. And Jesus came to invite us into the joy of the Father. Said, I came that my joy would be in you. And my joy is pretty epic. I have an epic portion of joy. And I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be complete, uncontainable and overflowing. And he gives us to drink of the river of his pleasures in himself because he's pleased in his essence. The Father laughs at the Son laughs at the Holy Spirit, and out of that they produce life. From the divine laughter. Yay. And he sits in heaven and laughs. And it echoes through everything. Hey, 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 hey. So we should look more like him. It says in Hebrews that Jesus was anointed with more joy than any of his brothers. He was anointed with the oil of joy. He was given them the mantle of joy, the joy mantle. In fact, he had so much joy that they called him a wine bibber. I didn't know what that meant, so I had to look it up. Bibber means steady drinker. He was a steady drinker, Jesus. Yeah. And he turned the water into wine because he was thinking, this is why I came. For a wedding. Yay! Yay! This is a controlled ecstasy. Wow. Yay. Yeah. Yay. I'm almost done. It's fine. It's just coming. It's still going. Oh, wow, wow. So I've had a drink that has caused me to believe. There's a drink that causes you to believe the gospel. Yeah. 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 Wow. Wow. I was in a Hong Kong buffet, Chinese buffet, and I wanted a water. I said, could I have a water? They said, what? A water? I said, what? A water. They went, what? I said, water. They went, ah, water. So I want to be biblical. Really do. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. For if we are standing outside ourselves in ecstasies, because of God. If we are in ecstasies, it's because of God's glory. This is the most radical translation of this verse. So if we are blissfully out of our minds with pleasure before our Maker, He delights in our ecstasy. Our insane mode is between us and God. We promise to behave ourselves sane and sober before you. For if I be mad, it's for God's cause. For if I be crazy, as some men say, then it is for God's sake. For I've had a revelation, I've had a realization that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old is gone and the new has come. And now the love of Christ overmasters me. It possesses me. It presses me in on every side. It is the compelling motive and the spring of every action. The words of Paul, the madness of St. Paul. How we love to read his books, and yet we've lost his heart. For if I am outside of myself in delight and ecstasies, it's for God. It's for him. He delights in my ecstasy. Wow. Yay. So we got to get biblical. We've got to be biblical. We've got to be biblical. We've got to be saturated in the fatness of his house. It says, my priests will be drenched with butterfat. You're meant to be drenched with butterfat. You're meant to be fat and flourishing. I stayed with Larry Randolph and Laura Randolph, and we talked about Bob Jones, and they were talking about a time when everyone was fasting. And Larry said to Bob, do you think we should fast, Bob? And Bob went, yeah. They'll get all weak and tired. We'll be fat and flourishing like stall-fed calves. Yeah, he calls us to a feast. He calls us to a feast. The feast. Yeah! Yay! Ooh, I've got a verse for that. You know I have. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Against such things there is no law. So 1 Timothy 1:11, we have the glad message of the glory of the happy God. We have the glad message. And what does 4 ones mean? You're on track. 1 Timothy 1:11, you're on track. The glad message of the happy God. The glad message of the glory of the happy God. Oh, whoa. A great part of God's glory is his happiness. It was inconceivable to the Apostle Paul that he could be denied infinite joy and still be glorious. The word God, it means good. It's a shortness of good. To be infinitely glorious was to be infinitely happy. He used the phrase, the glory of the happy God, because it is a glorious thing for God to be happy as he is. God's glory consists much in the fact that he is happy beyond our wildest imaginations. Wow! Yay! The gospel of the glory of the happy God. It's good news that God is gloriously happy. No one would want to spend eternity with an unhappy God. If God is unhappy, then the goal of the gospel is not a happy goal. And that means it would be no gospel at all. But in fact, Jesus invites us to spend eternity with a happy God when he says, "Enter into the joy of your master." He is the origin of laughter and joy. He is actually the origin of comedy. The Bible's full of comedy. Just look at the person next to you. Tozer said, God never changes moods or cools off in his affections or loses enthusiasm. If there is any enthusiasm in God, of which this is true, it is his enthusiasm for the Son. It will never change. It will never cool off. It burns with unimaginable fervency and zeal. Wow! And that's how he feels about you. As he is, so you are. Firstborn of many. One of the Dominican monks, Eckhart, said this: the Father laughs at the Son, and the Son at the Father, and the laughing brings forth pleasure, and the pleasure brings forth joy, and the joy brings forth love. We've been called into the joy circle. I'm in the joy circle. I'm in. I got swallowed. I fell into it. I slipped in. And I'm not coming out. Permawhack. It's like the permafrost. I'm not in times and seasons. I'm in Christ. I've found the wine cellar. Martin Luther, at the time of the Reformation, said a stunning statement. He said, "We found a 1,500-year-old stash of undiluted grace." Yeah. 1,500-year-old wine, and it was pure undiluted grace. It's grace that we're coming into all the things. It's by grace. And all we have to do is drink it. Our responsibility is to drink what he has accomplished for us. What he has done. He gives us to drink of his pleasure. At his right hand, the pleasures forevermore. Pleasure. You meant to have pleasure? Hypocrisy is defined as something that you worship that you don't have pleasure in. Then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master craftsman. I love wisdom. Wisdom's an awesome being. It says in Proverbs, wisdom was one of the first things he created before, in the beginning. So he created wisdom first, and there was a debate in the 3rd century about whether wisdom was Jesus or not, and they agreed in the council it couldn't be Jesus because it says clearly that she was born and created. And it says this, that wisdom was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. Wow. Delight means to take pleasure in. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. So wisdom delights in you. She calls you to eat at her table. She prepares her wine. The communion wine is at wisdom's table in the spirit. And that word rejoicing, which is used repeatedly there, is sachak, which means playing. It's defined as an exercise or activity for amusement or recreation. Fun or jest, as opposed to seriousness. The cosmos was birthed in play and laughter. That was the Big Bang. The morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It was a cosmic musical. You're in a musical. I hope you've realized that. You are actually in a musical, so you better start singing with the song. You better play your part in this cosmic musical. I love musicals. Some people can't stand them. I think they're awesome. Yay! In heaven, they all take it in turns to sing. It's a big musical. The Psalms, the Song of Songs. Yay! The Aborigines believed that the world was sang into being. We were planted into Eden, which means pleasure, innocence, delight, paradise. Adam and God walked in rest in the garden, enjoying one another in union bliss. The aim was to enjoy and spread delight into the cosmos. On earth, just like Eden. The fall pushed us out of true pleasure into illusion. We were enemies in our minds, but he still embraced Adam. Adam and Eve hid, not God. We were exiled from Eden into striving, toil, restlessness, competition, and self-seeking. Religion is our own efforts. But God refused to let go of us. He pursued the prize. He thought we were worth it. Consider this, you'll pay for something what you think it's worth. So when you try and buy a car, you'll try and get it for the right price. Consider this, he gave Jesus for you. The first covenant with Abraham was the covenant of Isaac, which means laughter, overshadowed by laughter. And the Moffat translation, which I love, James Moffat, it's about 100 years old. I've got a copy of it. Beautiful translation. It says this. This is the promise. I'll make a great nation of you and bless you and make you famous for your bliss. Because we're meant to be blessed, which means to be made blissful. We're meant to be so full of bliss. That's why people have come up to me many times and said, I want what you've got. And we've seen joy outbreaks. We're becoming famous for our bliss. We've been famous for all the wrong things. But there's a There's a generation rising that are going to be famous for their bliss. Unstoppable force of joy. Unstoppable force of laughter. Unstoppable force. Open up the doors and let the streets resound with singing. Songs that bring your joy. Song that brings your hope. Dancers who dance upon injustice. I'll make you famous for your bliss, and those who bless you, I will bless. And anyone who curses you, I will curse until all the nations of the world seek bliss such as yours. Can the dance floor hold your joy? Ooh. Wow. I'm addicted to your wine. I'm addicted to you. I'm addicted to you. There's a new song coming. I'm addicted to your wine. Can the dance floor hold the joy? We hear. It's the salvation bliss that David lived out. Psalm 32. Oh, the bliss of him whose guilt is pardoned and his sin forgiven. Oh, the bliss of man that the eternal is absolved, whose spirit has made full confession. But he who trusts in, relies, and confidently leans on the Lord shall be compassed about with mercy and with loving kindness. You've been compassed about. You're encircled by loving kindness. Be glad in the Lord, in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You uncompromisingly righteous. You are upright and in right standing with him. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. It is believing, not achieving. It is not achieved, it is believed. You can add nothing to his joy, but you can drink from it. It is not conditioned on you whatsoever, for its origin is not in you. It's in him, and it comes from him, and it's for him. Yay. Hebrews 9:11. Christ came as the high priest of the bliss. Your Bible says of the good things to come, but it's the word bliss. B-L-I-S-S. Christ came as the high priest of the bliss. He's the high priest of the bliss. Hebrews 9:11. Yay. Catherine of Siena, one of the most famous people in church history, from a young age, saw Jesus at age 6. She used to be so full of glory, she decided she'd never get married. She was going to give her heart to the Lord. All of her life, her parents tried to make her get married, but she cut off her hair to make people not like her. Because she wanted to be married to the Lord. From a young age, she would levitate up the stairs. She's one of the few mystic theologians that have been, you know, just endorsed across the church because of the sanctity and what she walked in the mystical realm. She couldn't eat food. She had food to eat that you know not of. She had tapped into something. She said this, "Oh, inutterable love, even though you saw all the evils that your creatures would commit against your infinite goodness, you acted as if you did not see, and you set your eye only on the beauty of your creature with whom you fell in love, like one drunk and crazy with love. And in love you drew us out of yourself, giving us being." He acted like one drunk and crazy with love. Wow. Yay. We should not be unfamiliar with this. We should not be unfamiliar with this. I'm teaching on the government of God tonight, the ecclesia, the government of joy. That all that he pleases, he does. God never does anything outside of pleasure. He pleased him to send his son. This is my son in whom I'm pleased. It pleased him to wound him, Isaiah says. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Everything was to do with joy and for joy and from joy. For he is joy. It is the glorious message of the happy God. Wait. Yeah. Whoa. I'm being biblical, for I have had a drink that has caused me to believe, and I have found that I've been planted back into the garden of his pleasure. And I'm trying to impart to you, bring impartation of something to free you from the tyranny of the temporary and your own emotional affections that are choking the seed of his DNA from manifesting your sonship. Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, the angel said. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Hebrews 1:9 says this of Jesus. I appointed you. This is what the anointing Jesus had. Yeah, he was acquainted with sorrows. But it says this. I appointed you. This is the Father speaking. I appointed you, made you happier than any of your friends. When I was young, I used to watch the Jesus of Nazareth DVDs. I loved those. But Jesus was like, I've come from the Father. I'm going to be crucified. But he was so full of ecstasy and joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. He was the glad and happy God, the exact representation of the Father. We've not got a grumpy Father. If he was grumpy, he would have done away with us. He's not. He's patient. He's kind. He sees you and loves you. He embraces the world in its wickedness. He embraces it in its vileness. He never retreated. He can't retreat because he inhabits it all. I anointed you and set you, another translation, set you apart with much joy. The Amplified says that I anointed you with the oil of excellent joy, exultant joy and gladness and above and beyond your companions. And as he is, so we're supposed to be. He was the happiest of all. And the first sign he did was marriage bliss and marriage wine and intoxication to a group of drunks. There seems to be a disparity between the church and Jesus. Jesus wanted to give us a clue as to why he came. So I'm just going to tell you what he said, okay? Just so you don't get it, guys. Just like he's standing there. Guys, just so you, in case you haven't got it by now, I chose a group of people that were completely weird. Have you noticed I'm breaking all the rules? Said, I came for this. This is the Lord's words in John 15:11. I came so that you can have true happiness that I have. I want you to be completely happy. The ERV. Another translation. That my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy and gladness may be a full measure, complete and overflowing. I want you to be overflowing. Or the voice says this, I love this, the voice says, I want you to know the delight I experience to find ultimate satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction, but I try and I try. I can't get no. He wants you to have ultimate satisfaction. He's saying, look, I'm having a pretty good time with the Father. Just want you guys to know it's epic. I'm having an awesome time, and I came to include you in it. I wanted to swallow you. Song of Solomon, he got this. Some people think, some theologians think, that Solomon wrote Song of Solomon at the end of his life because he'd understood all the toil and effort, and he'd understood that labor meant nothing. So he had a revelation, some people believe. Sean Baltz writes about this in his book, The Throne Room Company, that he believes that he had a revelation of mystical union, of mystical marriage, and the end work he wrote was the song of all songs. It was a mystical feast, and he saw the toil, he saw the effort, he saw wisdom, how wisdom functioned, and it was nothing. So he wrote this in Song of Solomon 1 verse 2. It says, kiss me and make me drunk with your kisses. This is the Blotch translation. I love this. But you can look at lots of other translations. They'll still say the same. King James can try and water it down. But remember, King James wasn't wanting a passionate bride. He was wanting an institution. They killed Tyndale for using the words gathering instead of church. In his translation, he wrote his own translation and used the word gathering because he was trying to say it's not an institution. They wanted it to be besides myself. I'm besides myself in church today, darling. They didn't want it to be, I'm standing outside of myself in ecstasy for God's cause. If I be mad. This is why we've got to read more than one translation. So, because one translation can't pull out all the juice, it can't pull all the nutrients out, it can't pull out all the bliss. It's, in fact, there's not enough words. Paul said this in the George Barker Stevens translation. He said, I was the subject of an incomprehensible ecstasy where truths too great for human language were imparted to me. George Barker Stevens, I was the subject of an incomprehensible ecstasy The whole gospel came out of ecstasy. It was birthed out of ecstasy. The book of Revelation was birthed out of ecstasy. The early books of the Bible were Moses in ecstasy, seeing the beginning, seeing what happened. We're meant to be full. We're meant to be famous. Famous for our bliss, not famous for the hag in drag with lipstick on her teeth. One translation calls Egypt the hag. So I'm quoting scripture. Hag, hag fest. God delivered us from hag fest. He put us in his joy unspeakable, and we're meant to be satisfied. Are you satisfied with what he has done? Have you received the drink? Have you believed the gospel? That this is the cup. My cup is wine. Forget all the institutional laws. I fulfilled them for you. I'm going to make it easy for you. Drink some wine. You mean grape juice? Prune juice? Take this cup of prune juice and be like me. I call you to a feast. He was the lamb that was slain. The Bible says the lamb has been slain, so let us keep the feast. And religion still tries to come in with our doo-doo efforts, with our doo-doo factory machine, where we're still trying to make it up to something. When we've been swallowed into something, we fall into a trance. We don't climb into a trance. We fall into love. And Solomon understood this after years of toil and labor under the sun that availed nothing. He labored with wisdom, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then he had a revelation. And he said this, kiss me, make me drunk with your kisses. Wow. For your sweet loving is better than wine. Whee! You are fragrant, you are myrrh and aloes. All the young women want you. Take me by the hand, let us run together. My lover, my king, has brought me into his chambers. We will laugh, you and I, and count each kiss as better than wine. Yay. My lover, my king, has brought me into his chambers. Brought me into the wine cellar and locked the key. Took away the key. Woo. We need to be locked in again. Like Luther, they found pure, undiluted grace. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'm keeping it together. If I be sober, it's for you. I'm just getting a bit of it out. If I be crazy, as some say, then it's for God. Or if I be out of my mind, it's for God's cause. Yay! Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Whew. Whoa. Whoa, so you deserve to be happy. You're choosing misery. Letting you know. Yeah. Oh, let's keep going.
the Lord your God is with you. He is a hero who saves you. He happily rejoices over you, renews you with his love, and celebrates over you with shouts of joy. He will show how much he loves you and how happy he is with you. He will laugh and be happy about you. And Jesus produced this everywhere. It says in Luke 5, listen to this. This is the effect Jesus had. An overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they recognized and praised and thanked God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear and kept saying, "We have seen some wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today." The Amplified. "We have seen some strange and incredible things today." Just so we don't know why he came, Isaiah would explain it. He came to the sorrowing, mourning people of Jerusalem to give them a crown, a headdress to replace their ashes, and the oil of gladness, joy, to replace their sorrow and mourning, and clothes, a garment of praise to replace this spirit of sadness, discouragement, heavy heart. They will be called trees of goodness, oaks of righteousness, trees planted by the Lord to show his greatness, his glory, and manifest his presence. You're a tree. What kind of tree are you? So grace has to be drunk, and the Bible just keeps repeating itself. It's stuck record from cover to cover. 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. Christ, God's Lamb, has been slain for us, so let us feast upon him. It's an epic BBQ. It's a cosmic. Have you guys been to Texas? They have these crazy restaurants where there's pieces of meat that I can't even imagine how a human being can consume them. Do you think me coming there with a little veggie sausage is going to add anything for those Texans? Have some broccoli with that. Do you think me bringing my economy burgers is going to add anything to those steaks? And that's what it's like. We come in with our economy burgers and think, "I've got to add something to this." No, you haven't. You can't. Because you're not the sauce. You're not the source. With you is the fountain of life. How do you glorify a fountain? Now imagine you've got, it's a hot day, and we have decided to go up one of these mountains, and there's a beautiful spring. You've sweated, you've climbed. Do you think putting some Diet Coke in the spring adds anything to the spring? Does adding your Diet Coke glorify the spring? Do you know how you glorify the spring? You get down on your knees and you drink it. And then it's glorified in you because its life is now in you. With you is the fountain of life. Yeah. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Wow. And the feast isn't coming to a meeting. The feast is living in mystical union, communion, common union with his essence, his divine ecstatic nature, that you are one spirit with him. You have been infused, you've been melded into God, and God has been melded into you. So what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about it? There's implications to what I'm saying tonight. You feast, you just, you know how Francis of Assisi would just go into ecstasy by lifting his hands, smiling, and he'd say this, "My God, my all, my God." That's called centering, my all. It's where you just turn back to reality. God, the Celtic saints used to pray this, "God, your presence fills this place. God, your presence fills. God, your presence. God." And that's the beginning of expanded states. I was in the Spirit, which means John was drinking of the prayer of affection and simplicity, where it wasn't about anything but enjoying him and him enjoying you. Enjoyment. And then if you practice that, it means you gave God permission to rapture you. But the rapture comes through the permission or the commission of affection. Just in case we haven't got it yet. Isaiah 26 says this, "But here on this mountain, where do we go? We appear in Zion. It says, God of the angel armies will throw a feast for all the people of the world. Feast of the finest foods. A feast with vintage wines. A feast of seven courses. A feast lavish with gourmet desserts." Isaiah 26, verse 6 to 10 in the Message. "We were birthed out of an explosion." The church was birthed out of an explosion of wine. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest and you fill my cup until it intoxicates and overflows." Or as the Vulgate says, that your chalice that inebriates me, how good it is. He gives you a drink of his pleasure. He causes you to feast in the presence of your enemies. How many of you guys hear Graham Cook talk about the time that the Lord took him into heaven? And he was having a terrible time of warfare where he was being persecuted. And a group of people kept showing up at his meetings with placards and saying, "Graham Cook's of the devil," and all this stuff. And he went through this persecution where they kept showing up. Percy was following him. Persecution, you know, Percy. Percy was working for him at More X and Weight of Glory, right? And God took him into heaven and prepared, there was a table there and all this warfare's going on. And the Lord was like a waiter and he said, "What do you want, the melon or the soup?" "The melon or the soup?" "The melon or the soup?" "The melon or the soup?" "Melon? Soup? Melon? Soup?" That's called joy fair. Song of Solomon 5:1. This is a good boy verse. Do you want to be a good boy? Do you want to be a good girl? This is a good boy, good girl verse. Song of Solomon 5:1. "I have eaten from the sweet honeycomb. I have drunk the milk and wine. Feast, friends, and drink till you are drunk with love." So you're meant to feast until you're drunk with love. When was the last time you were drunk with love? Let's just throw it out there. on one of my kids' birthday parties when Samuel was three, I was getting overwhelmed by God. We had to build a bike. I needed a friend to do it. Rich said, "Could you keep it together for the kids' party? I really need you." And I was like, "Okay." And I said, "Lord, help me, God, please. Help me, Lord. I really love my wife. I love my kids. I want to be a good man, a good husband." So I pulled myself together. I put all the napkins out. I put the banners up. I blew the balloons. It all looked beautiful. It was half an hour till everybody was meant to arrive. I said, "Honey, do you mind if I just go upstairs and just spend half an hour with Jesus before people come?" And she was like, "Okay." I went upstairs into the little study room, and God went, bam! And he just baptized me for half an hour in ecstasy and love. All I could do was cry, and tears streaming. My face was red. My hair was a mess. Not that it can get that messy, but it can. It's amazing. It's a miracle. My face was blotchy. My eyes, I mean, drool the lot. And for 20 minutes, all I had was this ecstatic love, because God is love and he looks for a target. He looks for a target. He is the drink and I thirst. He is the drink and I thirst. And I say to God, "God, you're love. God, you are love. Give it your best shot. I know, Lord, you would really love to pour out your love, but you make us powerful because you believe in a culture of honor. So with the power that you've given me, I say, go for it. Go for it. Love me. Bend me. Shake me. Any way you want me. As long as you love me, it's all right. All you need is love. Love is like oxygen. Love is a many splendid thing. Love lifts you up to where you belong. Love makes you fly, gives you eagle's wings." Some people started knocking at the door for the kids' party, and Rachel thought she'd find out where I'd gone. I can still remember to this day, she opened the door and went, "No way." And I'm not kidding, she burst into tears because the state I was in. I came downstairs, there was all the mums and dads for the party there, and I kind of walked into the living room. I looked around and I said, "I can't wait for you all to go." Whoa. Yay. 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 Because I'm enjoying Galatians 2:20 in the Distilled Translation. "For I have been co-crucified together with Christ. I have died. Justin died. The hag died. Misery died. The law died. The man I used to be was strung up. It was strung up. I have been co-crucified together with Christ. I no longer live. Now Christ lives in me," or as the Distilled says, "and now I am enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body." Yes. I've had my cocoa. I've got a creamy mustache from the marshmallow that was on the cocoa. They will know we're Christians by our creamy moustache. Psalm 16:11, "For in your presence is fullness of joy and total celebration. At your right hand are endless pleasures and eternal delights." We are meant to drink from the river of his pleasures. I'm teaching you stuff here tonight that I've learned from reading and engaging God that goes back to the early centuries. We should not be unfamiliar with this. From St. Anthony and Martin of Tours and Hermione and all of these people and Jerome, and through the centuries, Cuthbert and Columba and Kieran and Patrick, I've read them all. Catherine of Siena, Joseph of Cupertino, Francis of Assisi, St. John of the Cross, I've read them all. Gerard of Magella, Padre Pio, they all understood this. Brother Lawrence, they understood the gospel. It's the gospel. It is the glad message of the happy God. A religion wants to come and steal your joy. It says, beware lest no man steal your crown. That's how in Galatians he knew the hag had come back in, because she was sitting in the front row, obviously. But he said, who stole your joy? Who came in and stole your joy? He said, if they are coming back and trying to circumcise you, why don't they go all the way and chop the whole thing off? Biblical, quoting Bible. Psalm 36 verse 8, they will be intoxicated with the fatness of your house. God has got a fat house. It's not a skinny latte. It is a caramel macchiato, triple whipped cream marshmallow with a donut and a Twinkie on the side. Whoa. It's a high calorie gospel. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where am I getting the energy from? I'm drinking. I've got that joy down in my heart. Way down in my heart. Whoa. I am enjoying right now a new existence. I don't jog. But obviously Jesus does. Jesus jogs. Whoa. He does. He skips as well. He skips over the hills. Here he comes, my lover, skipping over the hills. It's a musical. So Psalm 36:8, I'm going to finish in a minute. It says this, they will be intoxicated with the fatness of your house, and you'll give them drink of the river of your delights. Okay? That word intoxicated is rava and means to drink one's fill, to be drunk, be intoxicated, drench, or to bathe. Ancient roots translation, soak them with the butter fat of your house and water them from the riverbed of Eden. Soak them in the butter. We're starting a new soaking movement tonight. They'll know that you're from this church, this group, by the butteriness, the sugar on the moustache, the sugar fingers. You will soak the soles of your priests with butter fat and satisfy. I will soak the soles of the priests with butter fat. I will soak the souls of the priests. What? With butter fat and satisfy my people with my goodness. You're meant to be skating on butter fat. It's the slippery. People love this, by the way. I've led hundreds of people to the Lord. We had a breakout outside Marks and Spencer's in Bristol. An old lady got hit. She had an umbrella because it was kind of drizzly. She was on the floor and her umbrella was going. All these young people gathered around. A policeman came up and went, what's going on? I went, this is Jesus. Jesus is here. I'm not kidding you, went. I ran after him. We ran all the way up the street. I said, come back, dude. Jesus loves you. I stood up in the train station in Belgium. in Brussels, actually. And I said to the guys that were with me, get ready. I said there was about maybe twice or three times as many people in the bus station, in the food court. I said, can I have everyone's attention? They all kind of went quiet. I said, heaven's at hand. I'm only going to be here for 5 minutes, but if you need a miracle in your body, heaven's at hand right now. I said, put your hands up. All these people were putting their hands up for a miracle. I saw the security guards come in. They were like, RoboCop. The Lord said to me, he said, against such things, there is no law. They came up to me and said, you can't do this. I said, against such things, there is no law. They went. You're right. We started praying for the miracles broke out. There was a guy there that had diarrhea for 5 years. Do you know what that's called? Unlucky. Oh, bad joke, sorry. I'm going to wrap this up. Habakkuk 3:17. This is in the message. If you're feeling like the economy's not going too well, maybe your business isn't going too well, maybe stuff isn't going right, this is what the gospel will do to you. This is a gospel message. It's even in the Old Covenant. It says this, though the cherry trees don't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields are stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, bummer. Just say bummer, bummer, bummer. When people tell me stuff like that, I laugh. It says this. This is his response. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior. Cartwheels. I'm counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart and gain strength. I run like a deer. I feel like I'm king of the mountain. God, Isaiah 9. God, you've caused the nation to grow and expand and enlarge. It's getting fatter. Right? Just so you don't know. God, you've caused the nation to grow, expand, enlarge, and made the people happy. You've increased their joy, Isaiah 9:3. And they have shown their happiness. They've rejoiced before you. Like the joy during harvest time, the joy of people taking what they've won in war. Genesis 12:1, I will make a great nation, you bless you, and make you famous for your bliss. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is already all over the earth. The glory's there, but the knowledge is going to come, and it's going to be a joy invasion, a joy explosion. It's good news. Remember, it's good news. It's good news to the poor. Or blessed be the poor. Or what does that mean? To be made blissful. Bliss upon the poor. Bliss upon those who mourn. It is oaks of righteousness. We're going to fulfill Isaiah's scroll. This is something Enoch showed me when I was first taken into heaven. And the Lord took me to meet him. They showed me Isaiah's scroll. And they made me drink of a wine. And it tasted of oak. And it fizzed in my body. And I tasted it in my mouth. Physically tasted it in my mouth. And I knew I'd ingested that we will be oaks of righteousness. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. We will, the ecclesia will rebuild the ruined cities. We will restore. We will be the repairer of the breach. We will be those that have repaired. We will be those of the glad message of tidings of comfort and joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Ding dong merrily on high. In heaven bells are ringing. And there is going to be a movement of joy that is unstoppable. God is coming with wine. He saves the best till last. And these governmental hubs, yeah, we're going to deal with stuff. We're going to deal with heavy stuff. But it's not going to come through works that no man can boast. It's going to come from being in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Whoa. Wee-hee-hee. Whoa. I just want to end with one thing from the Psalms. And I believe it's a word for your house because the Lord keeps speaking it over me while I'm here. So I've got a word for this house. Thank you, Father. This is a word I really feel for you guys, and it's this. But my horn, my strength, you've exalted like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. The righteous shall flourish. They shall flourish like a palm tree, which means be long-lived, fruitful, and useful. You shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic and incorruptible. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, in the garden of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. You're going to flourish in government. You're going to flourish as ecclesia. You're going to flourish in the courts, being planted into the garden. They shall be fresh. They shall flourish. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Like Abraham and Sarah, God is restoring the mojo. He's going to renew even people's bodies. Yeah, you better believe it's already happening. It's already happening. I could tell you some stories just about that. We are seeing crazy stuff happen. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing and full of sap. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So we're going to have a little drink. We're going to start with a little drink, okay? Just a taster, an appetizer, okay? So we're going to engage what I've said tonight. We're going to let him give us his joy and honor the chef for what he's cooked. We honor the chef by eating the meal. There's nothing like that a chef likes more than standing over people watching them eat. Remember, Abraham stood over the Lord. He said, quickly, get me a lamb. Quickly. And it says that the Lord ate with those angels and Abraham stood over them. He was just like, yeah. Watching them eat. God loves it. He's the drink and I thirst. Okay. And this isn't just a momentary thing because I'm here. This is what's happened to you. It's too late. It's already happened. You've been co-crucified and planted into his tomb and you died and now you're planted into his life. And that is the gospel. That is the kainos. That is the new creation. That's what's going to sustain us and cause this to be, like Bob Jones said, a glory that never ends, a move that never ends. And like Rick Joyner saw, that there'd be a company. We're called Company Burning Hearts because of what Rick Joyner spoke in one of his books, that for the Lord said, I'm going to raise a company whose testimony in heaven will be, this fire never died. Because the fire isn't fueled from the earth. It's fueled from the burning heart of the Father. Jesus said, I came from the burning heart. I came from the bosom. And I want you to be where I am and to see my glory. He wants to scoop us up, hijacked into paradise, as Paul said in the message. I know a man who was seized by Christ, swept into an ecstasy. The message translation. I know a man who was seized by Christ and swept into an ecstasy, up to heaven's heights. Yay! So small keys open big doors. We're just going to enjoy God. So let's stand up. If you want to get some space, you can. Okay. Whoa. Hey. Wow. Okay, lift your hands up. Lift your head up. My God, my all, my God, my all, my God.
of heaven's at hand is as close to you as the air that you breathe. This is the air I breathe. God wills, this is Tozer, God wills that we should push on into his presence and live our whole life there. This is to be known to us in conscious experience. It is more than a doctrine to be held. It is a life to be enjoyed every moment of every day. He says this sentence, he says, which is astonishing, he says, the presence of God is the central fact of Christianity. It is the central fact that you can enjoy him every single day. From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, that it is finished. You can add nothing. You can do nothing. You can add nothing. It is finished. The Lamb has been slain, so let us feast. I'm going to just do a one prayer, then I'm going to do an old prayer from our islands, from Lindisfarne. We're going to pray it together, okay? You ready? Yeah. You, Lord, are in this place.
You, Lord, are in this place.
Your presence fills it.
Your presence fills it.
You, Lord, are in this place. You, Lord, are. You, Lord. You. You just had 2,000 years of history, but it's our time to keep the feast. We have to be famous for our bliss now. We can't keep looking back. We've got to start to live this new existence and be famous for our bliss. And if your first thing that happens to you is crying, I also consider that bliss. It's all on the blissometer. It's all on the whackometer. It's just a different type of whack. It comes in many flavors. I do lots of crying whack too. And that is bliss. I embrace brokenness as a friend. It is good for the soul. And it is sweet tears. All the way through to joy unspeakable and full of glory. Some days I just feel it's unfair. Why am I so full of contentment? I'm in my car sometimes or on the aeroplane and I'm like, I feel like I'm on drugs. But good, clean, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just elated in his presence and I've made a decision to keep triggering into it. So when I get up, it's like, I love you. It's another day. In the shower, it's like,
It's not even think. You don't have to think. You can think about the shopping and going to Walmart. But your inner heart is going, a good way of thinking of it is like you are like a cat on the Father's lap. And he strokes you and you purr. And the more you purr, the more he strokes. So I often, the kids have known me to do this for years. No one taught me, it just happened. I go like, And Bethany will go, Dad, you're doing it again. I know, it's awesome, isn't it? I've had ecstasies in lots of places, but it's never gone wrong. And actually, when we have our joy outbreaks, we've seen dozens of kids gather around and say, I want it. We've seen them perform prayer lines, gold dust. I've seen kids falling under the power. I've seen clouds on their faces. And I didn't make it happen. I lived in a new existence. And his presence became a canopy. And it wasn't my fault. Now, small keys open big doors. If you want a glory metron around your life that causes outbreaks on the street, it starts with that tiny centering thing that I just showed you. My God. Oh. My prayer, my personal one is this that triggers me, and it really does, is I go, whoa, I'm in you, and you're in me. And I pray that every day. I'm having whack, I'm having crying whack. It's the other type of whack. He loves me so much. And I love him, it's awesome. I'm in love. And I'm so happy. Wow. Good message tonight, guys. Yes, yes, yes. Amen.